Bingo Wilkins took multiple gunshots to his chest and then casually walked towards the shooter with his shirt off. The bullet wounds on his chest bled. "And so, if I concentrate..." Bingo stopped, closed his eyes, and concentrated. The bullet wounds stopped bleeding, and then his skin seemed to heal as it pushed out the bullets. They slowly popped out of his chest and dropped to the ground in front of him.
"These bullets, like the ones here from our cop friends, not if they were the silver kind, mind you, they pop out, just like that."
Bingo smiled, his wounds already healing and closing. "And the wound has already started to heal over to boot."
"Just like that, huh?"
"Oh, yeah. We werewolves have incredible healing powers, dude. Stabbings, burnings, getting run over by a car, getting run over by two cars."
Bingo stroked his chin and considered the other things he'd been run over by.
"Haven't been run over by three cars yet, but I'm thinking I'd be okay, too. Was run over by an ice cream truck once."
Jughead was starting to freak out a little.
"Well, this is all fascinating, Cousin Bingo, especially learning how many times you've been run over by various vehicles. But can you please tell me what the hell is going on here? I'm wanted for murder, again, because I'm a friggin' werewolf. And now I find out you're also a werewolf when you're not even supposed to be alive because I supposedly murdered you too?"
Bingo put his hand on Jug's shoulder.
Cuz, relax. That's what I'm here for. To totally let you know the dealio, bro."
Bingo smiled.
"So, about me and that whole supposed to be dead thing."
Bingo began to tell Jughead about hiding and running in the woods. Bo and two other Coopers in pursuit of him. They were all heavily armed with werewolf hunting gear. Guns, silver blades, crossbows, and silver bullets.
"The Coopers were after me. I'd been evading them for weeks."
Bingo told Jughead of sitting at the counter at Pop's, a plate of burger and fries in front of him, and the newspaper.
"But the bottom line was, they were starting to close in, and I didn't know exactly what I was going to do about it."
Bingo unfolded the newspaper in front of him and saw a picture of Ethel Muggs. The headline read, "Muggs Murder." Underneath it, it read, "High school teen brutally murdered. Authorities fear it's a serial killer, calling it the Riverdale Ripper case."
"And then you happened. The whole Riverdale Ripper thing was a godsend, really."
Bingo continued and told Jughead of being there at the front of the chocolate shop with police there and Pop Tate under a sheet, dead. People had gathered, and Bingo stood among the onlookers in a red hoodie, the hood pulled up over his head, a smile on his face as he got an idea.
"I kept tabs on you, making sure you didn't hurt yourself. It was around the time you killed Pop Tate that it hit me. I was going to use you to fake my own death."
Bingo told his cousin of standing in his kitchen, his left arm stretched out over the kitchen table, a hatchet in his other hand.
"You know how I said earlier that we heal fast? Well..."
Bingo lowered the hatchet, chopping his arm off at the forearm. Bingo then embedded the hatchet in the wooden table and picked up his phone.
"I made a frantic 911 call that the Ripper was in my house. With my arm in there, I set the whole thing on fire. And then, just like that, I was gone."
Jughead and Bingo still stood in the forest. Bingo smiled, but Jughead was peeved.
"So, wait. You knew I was the Riverdale Ripper? You knew I was killing all those people and you didn't stop me?"
"Why would I? You were finally becoming what you were meant to be."
Jughead paced. Bingo stayed still and calm, zen even. He smiled as he watched his cousin.
"A murderer? Some of those people were my friends, damn it."
"People is the key word there. We're not people, cuz. We're something else. Different. Better. It's time you realize that, cuz, and stop denying who and what you are. It's why I released you from your chains at the circus that day."
Jughead got in Bingo's face, furious. Bingo just smiled back.
"That was you? That poor girl Abby is dead because of me. How could you?"
Bingo put his arm on Jughead's shoulder.
Cuz, you're not getting it, man. So let me put it to you another way. Do you mourn the cow after eating all those hamburgers you like so much? Of course you don't. Because they're food. And eventually you'll see what we're having right now. That's all this is."
Bingo smirked.
"A conversation about food."
"You're insane! You're..."
Bingo's hand quickly scratched his cousin's face. Jughead stopped in his tracks, uneasy. His eyes started to change. Bingo's eyes also started to change.
What did you do?
Sometimes in life, we need a push, cuz, to head in the right direction.
They both changed further. Bingo went willing. Jughead continued to struggle and fight it.
Werewolves can control the change in the presence of other werewolves. Some
can even do it without. But a scratch? A bite?
Bingo was now full wolf, his mouth a toothy grin as Jughead's change completed its course.
Well, that'll get the ball rolling every time.
Archie, Betty, and Beau walked down the hallway of a lavish corporate office building. Everything looked expensive. There were paintings on every wall. Archie was impressed.
Jesus, Betty.
Betty smiled.
You told us you were going to meet the head of the Cooper family, not Hiram Lodge's wealthier cousin.
They reached an office door and opened it.
Yeah. Aunt Elena does okay for herself. She...
The door to the office opened, and the trio found Elena Cooper, a woman around 40, beautiful long black hair, well-dressed. Half her face was covered completely by her hair. At first glance, it was clear that Elena was pissed. She held down an intern's face in a plate of steak that was on her desk. Behind her was a huge guy in a suit with sunglasses and a short haircut. Archie assumed he was a bodyguard. They entered the office and stopped.
That looked bloody to you?
Elena kept this guy's face in the bloody steak.
Every day, I order the same thing, you moron. Steak. Extra bloody.
I'm sorry, I'm new. I'll take it back.
Beau stepped forward with a smile.
We come at a bad time.
Elena snapped out of it and let go of the intern.
Oh, no. Please come in.
The intern took the plate of steak with him and quickly walked out of the room, the blood from the steak still on his face.
Good time for him, I think.
Archie was slightly shaken by what he'd just seen.
Yeah, but I'm not so sure if it is for me.
Archie glanced around the office and saw that it was decorated with various pieces of werewolf lore. Several paintings, a claw in a jar, a werewolf skull in another jar, a suit of armor. Elena crossed the room and she and Betty hugged. They were close. This was the woman Betty had modeled herself after.
So, how is my favorite niece doing?
As long as I keep doing everything my favorite aunt taught me, I think I'm in good shape.
The best.
Elena broke the hug and gave Beau a disapproving look.
Beauregard, so nice to see you're dressed for the occasion. Your lucky security didn't mistake you as a urine-soaked panhandler trying to break in.
What? Nah, this is my best fishing outfit. Only one barbecue stain.
Elena turned from Beau and took in Archie. Archie smiled nervously.
And this is...
Betty smiled.
Archie, the one I told you about?
Very pleased to meet you, ma'am.
Archie turned and put his hand out to the big bodyguard in the room. The bodyguard just glared at him.
Hey, big guy. I'm Archie, and you are... deaf not impressed.
Elena smiled and crossed the room to sit on her desk.
Now play nice, Connie. Connie, or Continent, as we've aptly nicknamed him, is my guy Friday, so to speak. Now, I've actually known Archie's parents for years, Connie. The Lodges, the Mantles, and yes, even the Joneses. A long time ago, we were all... friends.
Archie was both surprised and interested. Elena motioned to a nearby painting of a werewolf hunter fighting a werewolf from the Middle Ages.
I didn't know that.
Yes, in fact, I actually used to live in Riverdale. But now I live, well, wherever our mission takes us.
Elena took in Archie. Her face became serious.
A mission you're about to undertake for the first time. Am I correct?
Yes, I suppose.
There is no suppose when it comes to this. The work we do is necessary, important, and quite dangerous. And if it's something you just suppose you're doing, things can go bad.
Elena reached up and moved the hair that hung down over her face. Archie recoiled and tried to look away from the large red scars on her face. Elena grabbed his arm and kept him in front of her.
Don't look away, boy. I want you to see what you're getting yourself into.
Well, this has been swell, but I just got a text that we need to be going.
Beau interrupted them after seeing a text on his phone. Elena moved her hair back to hang over her scar.
Very well. Please do keep me posted.
Elena smiled wickedly.
Best of luck, Archie.
Beau led Archie and Betty to the door. It was night in the woods, and a large deer sprinted for its life. Behind it, in close pursuit, were two creatures it had never encountered before. The creatures in pursuit were Jughead and Bingo, in their werewolf forms. Jughead in the lead, Bingo just behind him.
That's it, Paz. This is what we're meant to be doing. There's nothing like hunting prey, Jug. Especially when you realize it's all prey to us.
They closed in on the buck. Jughead leapt on the deer, catching it by the neck. He bit into the stag's neck. Blood splayed on the ground as the deer fell quickly and died. The two werewolves set upon it, tearing it apart, the blood covering them as they feasted. Later, as they finished up their meal, Bingo gnawed on a deer leg and looked at Jughead.
Getting it now, Jug?
Jughead didn't answer, but Bingo seemed satisfied.
Yeah, you're getting it.
Suddenly, Bingo was shot several times. Jughead and Bingo turned toward the source of the gunfire and saw the circus people. All of them. They all carried guns, knives, and swords. The ringmaster stood at the front of the group, a smoking rifle in his hands. The two little people stood next to him, pistols at the ready. The ringmaster didn't take his eyes off the two werewolves. His face was grim.
So Beau told us the truth. Jughead is a werewolf of all things.
The two little people stepped to the ringmaster's side.
Seen a lot in our time in the circus. Werewolves don't faze us. Yeah, as long as they die, fine.
Bingo looked at the circus people and grinned.
Well, 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 cousin. Looks like the circus has come to town. And who doesn't love a circus?
Back in her office, Elena dragged her finger across a plate with steak on it. The steak was bloody as hell, exactly how she liked it. She raised her bloody finger to her mouth.
Now that's more like it. That was quite the visit, wasn't it, Connie?
She pulled a framed photo off her desk of her and Betty together, all smiles.
Archie will either get his act together or not, but either way, he's not my concern. He's not family. Betty is.
She put the frame back on her desk and strolled slowly behind it. She looked at a large werewolf heart in a jar.
And I sense trepidation concerning the Jones boy. I don't know if she has what it takes to do what needs to be done.
She stopped and looked at the inscription at the base of the jar. The inscription read, "My first, Elena Cooper, 1988.
As I had to do many years ago."
Her bodyguard, Connie, nodded in understanding.
Let's keep ahead of this, Connie. I suspect it might be time for Auntie Elena to get involved.
Connie smiled. In the woods, the circus folk lied decimated. Many of them were already dead. Some were wounded with missing limbs. It had been a bloodbath. The ringmaster and his two little people were still alive. The ringmaster clutched a wound at his side, while one little person tried to staunch the blood pouring from his freshly ripped off arm. The other one sat on the ground, now legless and bleeding profusely. All three stared at the werewolves in front of them, defiant.
Killed us, you did! You wolfmen, sons of bitches!
Like you killed Abby!
The two werewolves stood in front of them and prepared to finish them off.
Well, you're not all dead yet. Yet.
Something whizzed by Bingo's ear, chopping it off. Bingo put his hand to his ear and looked at the tree behind him. A silver knife was embedded in the trunk.
Hey, that wasn't the useless crap these carnies have been fighting with. That was...
The wolves turned to see Betty, Beau, and Archie there, ready to fight. Archie held his gun out, but still looked a bit apprehensive. Beau had a crossbow with a silver arrow ready, and Betty brandished two silver swords.
Silver.
Silver knives. Silver bullets. Hell, we got more silver than a damn Christmas tree. Them circus folk were just meant to soften you up a bit as the undercard, boys.
Bingo and Jughead charged at Bo, Betty, and Archie. Bo raised his crossbow as they charged.
Welcome to the main event!
Bo fired his crossbow, but Jughead sidestepped it. The arrow didn't even graze him. Jughead slashed Bo, cutting him along his right side. The blow knocked the crossbow from his hands. Jughead knocked Bo to the ground and stood over him, his claws gleaming and ready. Bingo and Betty danced around each other, trading blows. Bingo with his claws and Betty with swords. Betty slashed at Bingo, missing as he stepped back.
Bingo Wilkins, you look pretty good for a dead guy.
Bingo swiped at Betty. She ducked, and the werewolf's arm flew over her head.
Let's rectify that, shall we?
Betty turned expertly and brought the sword over in a downward arc and sliced Bingo's right arm clean off.
My arm! Again with my arm! Damn it!
Bingo dropped to one knee, holding a hand over the stump. Betty turned again and was about to take Bingo's head off with her sword. A large blur of movement slammed into Betty. The force knocked the sword from her hand. They rolled on the ground. Jughead came up first. Betty rolled over but was semi-conscious and defenseless as Jug loomed over her, about to deliver a killing blow. Three bullets ripped through Jughead's torso. Blood sprayed from the wounds. 15 feet away, Archie held his smoking gun with both hands. Mortally wounded by the three silver bullets, Jughead started to change back to his human form. He looked at Archie with surprise. A clearly affected Archie lowered his gun. The transformation complete, a fully human Jughead lay on the ground and slowly bled out.
Arch?
Jughead looked at Archie for a moment and passed out. He was caught by Bingo's one good arm.
I got you, cuz.
Bingo stood with Jughead in his arm and moved off into the woods.
I got you.
Archie stood and watched him take Jughead away. He lowered the gun. The wounded Bo sat up next to him on the ground.
What you waiting for, boy? Don't let Bingo get away! Shoot him too, dammit!
Archie didn't move.
Shoot him!
Betty slowly pushed herself to her knees and looked at Archie.
You'll have to excuse me, but I need a minute here. I think I just killed my best friend.
Bingo and Jughead were gone, leaving a trail of blood off into the woods. Bo was pissed, but too injured to pursue the werewolves himself. Bingo carried Jughead through the woods.
I'm dying. I'm freaking dying here, Bingo. Guess finding a burger stand in the middle of the woods as a last meal would be too much to ask.
Bingo stopped in a clearing, knelt down, and leaned Jughead against a rock. He stayed next to him and looked around at the surrounding forest, quickly scanning the tree line.
Look, you've got more silver in you than a slot machine, true. But you're not dead yet.
Yet.
I had called ahead before. Help is on its way. They're on their way.
The crickets suddenly stopped. Bingo and Jughead both looked up at the tree line and now saw dozens of glowing yellow werewolf eyes looking back at them. They had arrived.
The pack will know what to do.
In the auditorium of Riverdale High, Reggie Mantle stood at a podium in front of a small group of people.
I'm going to let you all in on a little secret. I don't actually like most of you.
Reggie wore his usual smug smile. He took his eye patch off and slowly began to change to his werewolf form.
Okay, so maybe that isn't much of a secret. Maybe it's not much of a secret.
I'm not exactly your favorite guy either, even if I like to think I am.
He took in the people in the front row. Weatherby, Moose, Veronica, and Cheryl Blossom.
But it doesn't matter. I recruited you all because we share a common goal.
Fully werewolf now, with a big smile on his face, Reggie's glowing eyes stared at the group.
A common enemy.
He made Archie and Betty leave me behind. Veronica Lodge does not get left behind.
He killed Grundy.
He killed my little buddy, Dilton.
Cheryl Blossom smiled.
Me? I just didn't want to get left out. That's a reason, isn't it?
All the attendees started to change into werewolves.
Sure. Why not? But reason doesn't matter.
Their transformation's complete. They all now stood with Reggie on stage. Reggie had a large, toothy grin on his face.
All that matters is that Jughead Jones is a dead man.
Archie Comics, Jughead, The Hunger, Volume 1. Written by Frank Thierry. Archie Comics, Jughead, The Hunger is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2018 Archie Comics. All rights reserved. Recorded with the permission of the authors and Archie Comics. Copyright 2021 Graphic Audio LLC. All rights reserved. Narrated by Eric Messner. With performances by Alejandro Ruiz as Jughead, Rob Moreira as Archie, Joel David Santner as Reggie, Tria Leong as Betty, Laura C. Harris as Veronica, Matthew Schley as Milton, Tanya Milojevic as Midge, Rob McFadden as Moose, Bradley Foster Smith as Beau, Taylor Coan as Jellybean, and Terrence Aselford as Principal Weatherby. Also with Andrew Mims, Chris Davenport, Dawn Ursula, Kelly Baskin, Michael John Casey, Nora Ashrati, Richard Rowan, Torian Brackett, Yasmin Toison, Catherine Aselford, Chris Stinson, Eric Messner, Drew Copas, James J. Johnson, Joey Sorlis, John Keelty, Karen Novak, Katie Booth, Ken Jackson, Lise Bruneau, Ayusha Navab, Lydia Craniotis, Nanette Savard, Nazia Chowdhury, Scott McCormick, Stephen Carpenter, Rainer Gabriel, and Donald Guzzi. Adapted for graphic audio and directed by Eric Messner. Graphic audio dialogue editing and sound design by Dave Fernandez, Grayson Holland, and David Zitney. Produced by Rick Rowan, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. Executive producer, Angie Cornett. If you enjoyed Archie Comics' Jughead the Hunger, you might also enjoy Vampironica, Volume 1, by Meg and Greg Smallwood, or Archie, Volumes 1 through 4. These titles and many more are available in graphic audio. Keep listening for a preview of another exciting title in graphic audio.
Great game, Archie.
Thanks, Bets. Did you get a hold of Ronnie?
I've been blowing up her phone all day, but she hasn't called or texted back. It's not like her to miss a game.
You must be Veronica. Don't worry, my dear. This will all be over soon. I promise.
Why do you have me chained to a table, Dilton?
Hematophagia, reduced heart rate, accelerated regeneration, sensitivity to UV light. I know what you are.
What? Cooler than you?
A vampire.
Ronnie, what the hell's wrong with your parents?
Daddy, please just let him go. You don't need to drink Archie's blood. Did you know we can drink pig's blood? I mean, it's not the greatest, but...
Oh, Veronica. We're not killing for blood, honey. We're killing to turn people.
We're turning everyone in Riverdale tonight, sweetie. Well, everyone we like.
We're here to help you, Veronica. Archie, too. We want you to join us. You can turn your friends, kill whoever you don't like. It'll be fun.
Oh my God, Reggie?
Tell me, Ronnie, what kind of a self-centered asshole leaves their date after a car crash?
I was trying not to drink your blood, you idiot! I didn't want to go out with you anyway.
You're pathetic, Ronnie.
You said it, Archie.
Oh.
Look at you. Just disgusting.
I think I've lost my appetite.
Too dumb to see a trap even when it's staring her right in the face.
I can't believe I fathered such an ugly child, inside and out.
Daddy, please.
Well, what have you got to say for yourself?
You can try and scare me all you want. I'm still coming for you.
From Graphic Audio and Archie Comics, a tale of small-town terror, ancient evil, blood-sucking cheerleaders, and drunken pool parties gone horribly wrong.
Vampironica.
Thanks for listening to this Graphic Audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,500 titles to choose from. Listen to over 150 binge-worthy series, from sci-fi to fantasy, to graphic novels, to mystery thrillers, to action-adventure, to westerns, and more. Check out our exclusive titles, available only in our dramatized adaptation format. If you'd like to listen to an entire series, you can conveniently purchase a download series set at graphicaudio.net. You can also earn loyalty reward points, redeemable towards future online purchases. Stream audiobooks immediately or download them to listen offline on your mobile phone or tablet using our Graphic Audio Access app, which is available on all Android and Apple devices. We like being radically different when it comes to our audiobook productions. Listen to A Movie in Your Mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Visit our web store today at graphicaudio.net.